another one of those hallelujahs this morning? For he is certainly worthy of it this morning. We're just so thankful and so blessed to be here this morning, be able to call upon not only a name, but the name of the Lord this morning, and to know that he hears us, to know that he thinks of us, that he loves us, and most importantly, to know that he's already gone before us and prepared a way. We truly have something to be grateful for this morning. Amen. If you got your Bibles with you, you can begin turning to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We've got just a few verses that we want to read there in that scripture to you this morning. As we sat down last night and we began to ponder and to struggle and even to wrestle a little bit with the direction that the Lord would have us to go and the message that he would place on our hearts, we were just led to the scripture. And if we had a thought or maybe a point behind all this, it would simply be remodeling the house. And I believe that's the direction that God is leading us this morning and where that we're I believe we can relate to this very easily, because here at Liberty we've got some remodeling going on. We're remodeling the basement, finishing the basement. We're remodeling our services a little bit, changing some things up, and I just believe that there's some things that we need to realize and that we need to keep in mind as we go throughout this remodeling process. And so that's where the Lord has led us this morning. But before we get into the scripture first, you know, there's maybe some stuff that we need to understand or maybe some background that I think will help us understand where God is leading us this morning. You see, here in the third chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, what you'll find is that in this passage is that Eli, the high priest Eli, has taken Samuel in, and he has been teaching Samuel and leading Samuel and making him, teaching him how to worship and how to go about praise and teaching him how to be a disciple of the Lord. And what we also find in this chapter is that we find that God chooses to speak to Samuel rather than Eli for the first time. In other words, this is really the first time that God has spoken directly to Samuel. It's the first time that God has chosen to burden Samuel's heart directly and not through Eli. And so the Bible says, you know, when it talks about Eli, it says that he'd spent his entire life in service of God. He had spent his entire life learning about God, praising God, teaching about God. And at the time, it says that the Bible says that he'd been judge over Israel for almost 40 years. He was the high priest of the time. And he was over all the worship in the land. And so I find it peculiar that even though Eli was maybe the high priest, even though Eli was the one that had been serving God for these 40 years, we find that God chooses to speak to Samuel instead. And so that's sort of where the scripture is, where we're going to jump into the scripture. If you would stand with me this morning as we read God's word. We're going to jump in there about the 11th verse. And this is where Samuel where the Lord is speaking to Samuel there in the night. It says there in the 11th verse of the third chapter, it says, "And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons had made themselves vile and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." May God add the blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Like I said, here in this scripture, what we find is we find Eli, and he was a great leader for the Lord. He was a great worker for the Lord. And he had taken in Samuel and had raised up Samuel and taught him his ways. And here in this scripture, in those verses that we just read, is really the first time that the Lord speaks directly to Samuel. And so basically what we find in this scripture is that as the Lord is speaking to Samuel, as he is telling Samuel these things, and it's not basically, he is warning Samuel of the judgment that is coming against the house of Eli. He is warning Samuel of the things that are coming, of what's going to happen in the house of Eli, because Samuel maybe not would have not understood had the Lord not warned him. And so there in verse 14, we even find that God states that the iniquity of his house will not be purged or forgiven by sacrifice. And so in other words, God is telling Samuel, said this, the house of Eli, says they will suffer great things because of their iniquities at my hand. They will be, it won't be purged or forgiven by sacrifice. And you see, that was really a big deal at this point in time in the scripture, because at this time, you see, Jesus did not come to be the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus had not yet come to be the sacrifice, the forgiveness of our sins. So really in this time and in this day, sacrifice was the greatest way, or maybe the best way to find forgiveness. And so we find that God has told Samuel that sacrifices won't necessarily forgive the iniquities of the house of Eli. But you see, God also explains to Samuel why such judgment is coming to his house. You see, in verse 13, it teaches us, it says, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons have made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." So in other words, God is speaking to Samuel. He has told Samuel that a great judgment is coming against the house of Eli. He has told them that sacrifice will not purge or forgive these sins. And he's also told Samuel why it is that this judgment is coming. That this judgment is coming because of the iniquities of his house, and because Eli's sons have made themselves vile. And it says that Eli has done little to nothing about it. It says, and so the Lord will now bring judgment against that house. And what we need to realize this morning, church, and this is really the point that I want to get to, is what we need to realize about this passage, that just because we've been given a great mission for God, just because we've been given a great work to do for God, just because we've been given a great outreach to do for God, does not mean that we can neglect our duties at the house. You see, what we find here in the scriptures is that we can go out, and we can go out into this world, and we can invite others to church. We can try to get people to come to these two new services. We can try to get people to come to our life groups. We can try to get people to come on our Wednesday nights. We can go out and disciple others. We can go give out tracts. We can go share our testimony. We can go out into this world and try to win all these lost souls, and that's fine. But I believe that before we can go outside of these walls, before we can really start to worry about reaching out and to bring the others in, first we've got to make sure that the house is in order. You see, to sort of relate this to, you know, when I was in high school, I worked with Brother Andy Bond and doing construction and remodeling. And I remember there were several times that when I was working with Andy that he'd maybe have a little project going on in his own house, whether they were redoing the living room or redoing a kitchen or adding a room onto their house. There were several times that while I was working for him that he would also have a project at his own house. And I'll never forget, you know, there were some mornings that you would get there and you'd get in the truck and you'd be asking him where we were going that day and what we were going to do that day, and you could just tell it was eating him up. He said, "Man, I really just need to spend a day at home, Brother David. I really just need to take some time and work on my own project. I really need to get my own house in order before I go out and start trying to fix everybody else's house." It's the same thing that applies to us this morning, church. I believe that just like Eli, we have been given a great remodeling strategy, that we've been given a great commission, a great mission by God to go out and reach the world, just like Eli had. You see, Eli, he had served the Lord for over 40 years. He had worked diligently for the Lord, and he had been called by God to reach out and to share his word with others. And I believe that Liberty has been given that same calling. We've been given the great opportunity to go out to reach this world, to share his word, to bring others into this house. And I believe that he's given us a great mission. I believe that these two services are just one step further upon God's plan for this church. But I believe that before we take that next step, before we just dive in, we first have got to make sure that our own house is in order. You see, there were days you could tell Andy, he would just struggle, because he would know that, hey, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to work all day, I'm going to work hard, and then when I came home, I'm going to have to go to work again. And you can just tell he struggled with it, and it was hard on him. And there's some days when he really just didn't want to go out. Church, before we can go out into this world, before we can really start bringing others into these two services, before we ever really need to go out and start inviting other people to these two services, before we start worrying about fixing the houses of all those around us, we first have got to make sure that God's house is in order. You see, the Bible doesn't say that God was bringing judgment upon Eli because that he had done the wrong things, because he had lived like a vile sinner. It didn't say that it was because he led his church in the wrong way or that he had lived in the wrong way. It said simply because he had neglected the duties of his house that they would face judgment. Church, we can devote ourselves completely to outreach. We can devote ourselves to going out and bringing other people to these two services. We can devote ourselves to going out and sharing our testimonies. We can devote ourselves to going out and to doing all these things. But if our very house is not in order, then what good is it going to do? You see, it's sort of like, maybe I remember there's times when Dad would come home and he talked to Mom. He said, "Oh, yeah, I saw Brother David or Brother Andy or whoever today, and I just invited them and their family to come over and eat supper with us." And y'all know the look that Mom gave Dad when he said that. She said, "Well, I haven't had time to get the house clean. I haven't had time to get the house ready. It's not presentable. It's still a mess. It's been lived in. It's not, everything's not perfect, not straightened up. How much time do I have? Do I have time to get it cleaned up? When are they coming? What have I got to do? I got to make sure that all these preparations are made so that my house is ready to receive those that would come in." Well, church, I believe that in this very moment right here, we've still got a few weeks before we start these two services, but I believe that the very first thing that we need to do is we need to make sure that our own house is in order. You see, Eli, he didn't go out and live a bad life. He didn't go out and commit these great sins about God, but he simply devoted himself entirely to one thing and let his own house fall aside. If we as Liberty do not make our preparations to receive the lost, if we don't make preparations to receive those that we're hoping to reach with these two services, if we don't make preparations within our own hearts, within our own houses, before we go out and we start to receive all these others, before we go out and we start to invite all these others, then I believe that we'll honestly be doing it in vain, because we have not prepared the house of the Lord for the work that is to come. See, we could be just like Eli. We could devote our whole lives to doing God's mission. But if we let our house fall aside, what good has it done? I believe that right now in this moment that we need to make preparations in the house. We've got to make sure that our own house is in order. And I'm not just talking about the church building itself. I'm not just talking about getting the basement finished or getting new signs put up or making sure that the building is cleaned every week. I'm talking about making preparations within each of our own houses, within each of our own souls, making preparation, devoting ourselves to the work that is to come, devoting ourselves to the labor that is to be required, devoting ourselves to the prayer that's going to be required, devoting ourselves to the hard hours and the hard times and to going the extra mile. We personally have got to devote our own houses, our own souls, to the work of God. We've got to make sure that our own house is in line before we go out and start trying to fix the world. We first have got to make sure that the church is in order. We've got to make sure that our hearts are prepared. You say, "Well, how do I do that?" Well, it all starts on our knees in prayer. You see, I believe, just as we're remodeling our services, as we're remodeling our schedule on Sunday, I believe that there's also a lot of things in our own lives that we need to remodel. You see, we're physically changing the traditional services. We're physically remodeling the traditional times that we have services. We're physically remodeling the basement, but I believe that we also need to spiritually remodel some things about our church. I believe that we need to spiritually remodel the idea that the church refuses to be lifeless. I believe that by refusing to be lifeless, by choosing to have live services every week, by choosing to let the Holy Spirit reign supreme every week, by choosing to not be lifeless, to not just be someone who fills a seat on a pew, to be more than that, to really come and to truly worship, to truly lift up the name of God, I believe that that's some remodeling that we need to do. I believe that we need to refuse to be the lifeless church. Because you see, there's a lot of people, when they think about church these days, they think about that lifeless service. And I think that needs to be remodeled. I think it needs to be remodeled that we think that we can't stand up and worship God without someone up here asking us to do so first. You know, there's a lot of churches, if you were to stand up and to raise your hands or to shout and to praise God, they look at you funny. I believe that's something that we need to remodel. I believe that we need to remodel how we worship, that we shouldn't just worship quietly and deadly and sit there like we're lifeless. I believe that we should worship in spirit and in truth, that we should worship like we don't care who's watching, that we should worship like we truly have a living God to worship this morning, because we do. I believe that's something we need to remodel. I believe that we need to remodel how we think about each other sometimes. I believe sometimes it's really easy to come into the house of God and to think badly about others, to judge others for what you know about them or what you've seen of them or what you've heard of them. I believe that's something that we need to remodel. Church, I'm telling you, if it's going to be the mission of this church to go out and to reach the lost folks, to bring in the unchurched people, the first thing that we can't do when they get in the door is going to be to judge them. That doesn't work. I believe that we got to remodel that idea about church. There's a lot of people, and guys, I promise you it exists. I went up to the high school a few weeks ago, and I spoke with this young man, and I said, you need to come to church with us. He said, well, I'll be honest with you. He said, we used to come, and he said, and it was just a judgy place. He said, people, he said, they judge you. Church, that needs to be remodeled. When they come in these doors, they need to feel love. They need to feel hope. They need to feel the grace and the mercy of God that we have so strongly experienced in our own lives. We need to show that to them. We need to remodel the fact that we think that we can only come up to this altar when something's really bad wrong. Guys, that burns me up. I'll never forget there. It was a summer or two ago. I went down and I was a part. I went to a revival services down at Harmony where Dad used to pastor. And I couldn't help, but it just seemed like every service that we had that week, every time that the altar call was given, I couldn't help but just to get down and pray. And I remember there were people that looked at me. Said, well, man, he must have done something really wrong to be having to pray that much. There were people that came to me and asked me, said, is there something you need to talk about, something you need to pray about? I said, no. I said, I really and genuinely just want to come and feel God's presence and speak to Him in this altar. And I believe that's something that we need to remodel about our churches. You see, there's a lot of people that think that this altar is only for the lost folks, that this altar is only for the vilest of sinners, that this altar is only supposed to be used on maybe one good Sunday or one good Sunday here, one good Sunday there. There's nothing that my Bible says that says we should not use this altar each and every time that we're in the house of the Lord. To come and to lay our burdens down, to get rid of all the cares and all the worries. I believe that we need to remodel that. That we need to be a place of refuge. See, there's a lot of churches out there that have become a cruise ship for the privileged, if you will. And I truly believe that that's something that needs to be remodeled. You see, I believe it's our job as the church to not be a cruise ship for the privileged, but to be a lifeboat for the perishing. To be willing to go out and to reach those that others wouldn't even talk to. To love those who others wouldn't love. To help those who others wouldn't help. To just be a friend to those who have never really felt the love of God before. I believe that's something that we need to remodel. I believe that we need to remodel the idea of big church. You guys know what I'm talking about. You know, a lot of times you hear people talk about big churches, the big church. And I think if we're not careful that that's something that we're easily going to maybe become known as is maybe the big church. But I believe we need to remodel those misconceptions. We need to remodel the misconception that when you come to Liberty, it may be a bigger service, it may be a bigger sanctuary than what you're used to, but it still has the same homey feeling, the same love of God that can be found in a lot of churches across this world. I believe we need to remodel the fact of the misconceptions that you're just a face in the crowd, and we need to show those that come in these doors that they're not just a face, that they're not just somebody on a pew, but there's someone that is loved, there's someone that we care about, that there's someone that we are genuinely glad to see in the house of the Lord. I believe we need to remodel that. Church, I believe first and foremost, but we've got to remodel our own hearts. You see, if we're going to open up the doors of our church and truly invite all these others in, if we're truly going to want them to come, to feel at home, to feel welcome, if we truly want them to find Jesus right here in this place, we first have got to prepare our own hearts. Our hard hearts, our quiet hearts, our conservative hearts. Guys, we have been given the love of Jesus. And not only that, but we have been given an opportunity that a lot of people would love to have. We have been given an opportunity to share it with more people than we ever have before. We have been given an opportunity to reach out further than we ever have before. We have been given an opportunity to love on people that have never been loved before. To teach Jesus to people that have never even heard about Him before. We have been given the opportunity to minister, to disciple, to help, to love, to cherish, and just to just welcome so many more people than we ever have before. But if we don't first remodel our own houses, then who are we to bring them in? If we first do not prepare our own house, then what's the point of bringing them into a broken home? What's the point of bringing them in somewhere where the house is not in order? You see, Eli, he may have thought that he was doing everything that he could for the Lord. He thought that he was doing everything right. He devoted his life. He praised God. He worshiped God. He prayed to him daily. He did all these things, and he thought he was doing everything right. But it says that he left his family and his house behind. It says, and his sons became vile. Church, we're going to have to choose as a home, as a house, as a whole, as Liberty Baptist. We're going to have to choose as a whole to not neglect the duties of our house. To not let all the pressures fall upon our pastor. You see, there's a lot of people that think that their only job as a church member is to go out and to recruit others and to bring them in. They say, well, all I got to do is if I can just get into that church pew on Sunday morning, then I'll let my preacher do the rest. I'll let my preacher preach to them. I'll let him disciple them. I'll let him pray for them. I'll let him lead them to the Lord. I'll just leave it to my preacher. I'll just get them in the door. Guys, we can't do that. Can't do that. I believe that's something we need to remodel. You see, not only can you bring them in the door, but you can pray for them just like our pastor can. You can disciple them just like our pastor can. You can show them the love of Jesus just like our pastor can. You can come to this altar and pray for them just like our pastor can. You can come to this altar and lead them through Romans just like our pastor can. You can come to this altar and pray with them and do everything that our pastor can. I believe that's something that we need to remodel. You see, it's not just on our pastor to get everything done once we're in this house. We don't put it all on one person in our house to make sure that everything gets done. We share the responsibility. We each have our own little ways that we serve, that we work, that we help out in every way we can. And I truly believe that if we want to see this be a successful ministry, that if we really want to see our house fall in line, if we really want Liberty Baptist to become the place of refuge when the storm of life is raging, then I believe we're all going to have to take on our own little part. You may not know how to do the framing, but you may know how to do the wiring. You may not know how to do the wiring, but maybe you're good at sheetrock. Maybe you're not so good at sheetrock, but maybe you can paint a little bit. Maybe you can't paint a little bit, but maybe you can just show up and clean a little bit. You guys get where I'm going with this? Remodeling is not a one-man project. Remodeling is not a one-person job, and if we're truly going to remodel this church both physically and spiritually, we've got to each take our own little part and do it. We've each got to take our own little part and make sure that it's done. You may say, well, I can't get up there and sing in the choir on Sundays. That's fine, but you can stand up and worship. I may not be able to come down. I may not feel confident enough to come down and lead somebody in the Lord, but you can stand right behind them and make sure that they feel the power of prayer being showered down upon them. You may not be able to teach Sunday school. You may not be able to be a life group leader. You may not be able to go out and to pick people up on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights. You may not be able to do this or that. But church, if you can pray, if you can just look at somebody when they come in the door, tell them hello and tell them that you love them. Tell them that you're glad to see them. Tell them that you're praying for them. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, I believe it's going to take each and every one of us getting our own houses, our own hearts, right with the Lord. And if each and every one of us will get our houses right with the Lord, if we'll get our hearts right, if we will truly get down and beg God to show us what it is that we're called to do, to show us what it is that He needs us to do. And church, I promise you, you're not always going to like the answer. You may not always like the direction that God is going to lead you in. You may not always like the job that God has assigned you. But at the end of the day, it's been ordained by Him. And if He sets you apart to do it, then I believe that means that no one can do it like He wants it done but you. Church, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be something that happens overnight. See, remodeling processes, they're not something that you just You snap your finger and it happens. But I believe that's why the Lord has led us this way this morning. It's so that we don't become like Eli. So that we don't become confused and misstrayed when everything comes crashing down. We're not sitting here trying to figure out what happened. See, I believe that this is God's way of telling us that it's time, right now, right here in this place, to start preparing our house. Abigail, you come and prepare an invitation or whatever it is you have on your heart. Or Joey, just whoever is going to come. And church, I just want you to ask yourself right now. I know last week as we announced that we were having these two services, we announced this next big step in God's journey for liberty. I know that there were a lot of us that came down and prayed. And I know that we've all been assigned a day in this upcoming month, and maybe you've already had yours to pray. But have we really and truly examined our house to see what it is that we need to remodel? We've prayed for liberty as a church. But have you prayed for liberty as a member, as a worker, as a leader, as a prayer warrior, as a servant? Have you remodeled your house so that liberty as a whole can go about this process? See, the last thing that I want you to realize before we give this invitation is that we find in this scripture that Lord, like I told you, and Brother David has said it many times, that any time that it's the first of something, you better pay attention because there's something special there. Well, the best I can find, this is the first time that the Lord spoke directly to Samuel. And if you go back and read the beginning of that third chapter, what you'll find is that the first time the Lord spoke to Samuel, it says that he actually got up and ran to Eli and said, Lord, did thou callest me? And Eli said, no, not me. And it happened a second time. It said Samuel heard the Lord and he ran in there to Eli. He said, Lord, did thou callest me? And Eli said, no, it wasn't me. It says in the third time, it says Samuel ran to Eli and he said, Lord, I know that you called me. And Eli said, Samuel, he said, I want you to go back. He said, I want you to lay down. He said, I want you to listen. He said, because if it truly is the Lord speaking to you, he said, I promise you, you'll hear him clearly as the Lord. Church, what we need to realize is that because Eli failed to keep his house in order, God was now speaking to Samuel. The Lord now had chosen to speak to Samuel about the great mission, about the work that was to come, about the souls that were to be saved. What we need to realize this morning is that God is wanting to do a great work at Liberty. God is wanting Liberty to take this next big step. God is wanting to see a great revival start at Liberty. But if Liberty cannot keep our house in order, if we as a church, if we as your pastors, if we as a whole, as a body of God, are unable to keep our house in order, I believe that God could start speaking to someone else. Could start showing them the mission that once was ours. But because we failed to keep our house in order, the Lord has chosen to go elsewhere with it. Church, what we need to realize this morning, Joe, as you can go ahead and start playing, is that God wants to use Liberty, but God does not have to have Liberty. It is up to us to decide if we're going to keep the house in order. It's up to us to decide if we really are going to man up to this great mission that God has given us, if we really are going to answer the call that God has put before us, if we really are going to get our affairs in order, then I believe it starts right here this morning at this time. Because there's much work to be done. There's a lot of prayers that need to be prayed. There's a lot of workers that need to stand up and say, I'll do it. I'll go. I'll do this. I'll do that. You just put me wherever you need me. There's a lot of servants that need to stand up and say, I'll be willing to do whatever it is that you need me to do, whenever it is that you need me to do it. Because that's what it's going to take. You see, the larger the house, the larger the upkeep that it requires. The greater the ministry, the greater are the workers that it's going to require. Why? Because Satan is going to fight harder than he ever has at Liberty Baptist. Satan is going to do more than he ever has before to try to shut down the great mission that he has given this church. Satan is going to do more than we've ever seen him do before. Why? Because he is scared of the work that this church is going to do. But first, we have to decide in our hearts if we're willing to take that stand, if we're willing to prepare our house for the lost people that God is going to send our way. So as we stand to our feet, guys, we've already talked about it this morning, but you know, there's a lot of people that think, well, I went and prayed last week, I don't need to go pray again. Well, we're going to remodel that starting this morning. If God has spoken to you this morning, would you come? Would you come and pray? Joey, go ahead and sing. Amen, church.
As you are.
Amen. That's truly all that the Lord asked of us. So we would come bearing nothing more than what we are and just lay it down at His feet. Church, I thank you this morning. I want you to know how much I love you, how much I enjoy the opportunity to serve as your youth pastor. You truly are a great blessing to me and just giving me the opportunity to work with your youth and to serve in whatever way I can. I want you to know if there's anything I never do for you, that I'm always here in whatever way that I can. So, amen, amen. As we dismiss today, let me remind you that next Sunday we'll have a baptism, next Sunday, March 10th. If you would like to be baptized or be a part of that, make sure you